podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is The View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 1st of March, 2022. My name is Patrick Smith. 4 points this weekend as the momentum builds to some really important games over the next few weeks, starting with a three-game series against Guildford this weekend. And we might have made a final. We have a lot to talk about. On this week's show, we doused the blaze and weathered the storm, so we'll look at what went right. We also have the Challenge Cup semi-final to talk about. Well, no, don't forget about that. We'll have all the news from around the league. The nominees for February's Player of the Month, sponsored by Fornicab, and one of our favourite people, Andrew Dixon, will be along in just a few minutes, considering how late we're starting this, as we chat to him as part of the fan agenda. Mr. McGimsey, you doing all right? Last time I saw you, you were in Tenerife.
Paddy, you know, I think it's important. You always ask us how we're doing, but like, how are you doing, mate?
No. People now realise that this is take number two on this week's show, and Davey may have taken somebody else's stick there. I'm doing fine. Thank you very much, David.
I enjoyed Tenerife. I did. It was lovely to get a bit of sunshine on my back. And even though, you know, world events have overtaken us in the last 6 days, there's still a lot of hockey to be talked, hopefully.
That's it. Says, how you doing, mate?
I'm all right.
I think you can guess whose stick he took there. So, Joel, you doing all right?
Yeah, Paddy, I've been waiting all week to talk about that Challenge Cup semi-final, so let's just get straight
into it. It's unforgettable.
Nobody would forget it.
Nobody would forget about that Challenge Cup semi-final. Let's start with that, boys. The Belfast Giants undertook a one-off semi-final against the Nottingham Panthers. Davey's in charge this week with regards to all the visuals on YouTube. Nice one, Davey, because I might be having a week off next week. It was a 2-1 win for your Belfast Giants in front of a decent enough crowd for what was a Wednesday night. David Goodwin with the two goals for the Belfast Giants, and Jeremy Welsh with the goal for the Nottingham Panthers in goal. Jackson Whistle, 33 shots against, one goal against. And Kevin Carr, 30 shots against and two goals against. Your referees that night were Stephen Hogarth and Andy Dalton. Davey, I'll start with you. Job done.
Job done. I watched the game like this on the beach, with the sea crashing in front of me and with a wee beer, because I couldn't get it on a big screen anywhere. So forgive me for watching it on a tiny screen. I thought, again, a bit like the game that we played against them in Nottingham just a few days before, I thought Kevin Carr probably was the exceptional player for them, kept them in the game for probably longer than they should have been in it. Giants did okay. We came out with it's one of those. We've came out semi-final. It's always going to be tight. It's going to be tight both ways, and we've came out of it with a positive result. Goody with two big goals for us. That first goal at the end of the first period was probably what we deserved from a decent first period, and then, you know, them getting one back on a power play was a bit of a blow to us, and then all excitement of getting that go-ahead goal that went away and so on. Did you take that away?
I did, yeah. I did.
I didn't know what had happened. Thought I was in charge.
He's partially in charge.
I can help.
But yeah, well, then ask somebody else.
Nice.
It's just guidance, David. Guidance.
I thought it was I thought we more than deserved. If we'd have won by maybe one goal more, 3-1, probably fair enough victory. But I don't think the Nottingham Panthers give us too much to worry about through the course of the game.
Says, you know, Kevin Carr, as Davey says, was quite strong at the start of that game. And it was, you said it yourself in commentary, you know, at times between him and Jackson Whistle, it was a battle of the goalkeepers. You're on mute.
Stay on mute.
And yes, Paddy, yes, I was about to say that, the battle of two goalies. I thought both goalies played really, really well. You know, Carr, especially in the first period, you know, I think we're approaching with 16 or 17 shots altogether. Was it, Paddy? Or Davey, sorry, I know you're the stat man, but, you know, there was a lot of block shots. There was we got the goal going in, you know, towards the end of the first period, and you know, we looked comfortable. Although they had a couple of chances, we looked comfortable. I don't think at any time, even during the commentating, I don't think I felt that we were going to lose the game. I really didn't. I thought we were in control of the game. I thought we managed. Our game management was very well. We took a couple of stupid penalties, which, again, you know, we've been doing of late, and we need to get out of that. I heard Alan talk about it on the after the game on Sunday. But, you know, again, you know, that's a one-off game and anything can happen. So, you know, luckily enough, we got the puck luck. We got the goals at crucial times. We managed to manage the game really, really well and get to the final. And the bottom line is, I actually thought for a neutral, if there was any neutrals watching it, it was a really, really good game. I thought it was an entertaining game. I was keeping an eye on what was happening in Sheffield, obviously, with the Devils, and they were, you know, giving the Steelers an absolute lesson last Wednesday night as well. So, you know, would have picked the Devils or would have picked Sheffield for the final, I probably would have wanted the Devils, to be honest. So it's going to be a really good final. It's only a couple of weeks away, and the tickets are absolutely flying out the door. So, yeah, really, really pleased to get the win and get the final, especially in our own building.
Joe, you know, that final on the 16th of March and a build-up to, you know, obviously 17th of March being a public holiday over in at home, and the Devils fans delighted that it's midweek, as you know. But the game itself, like, I agree with what the lads have said. At no point did I feel uncomfortable in that game. Obviously, the goal for them came from the power play on assistance from Jeremy Welsh, and it came off that interference on Garst. And they scored pretty quickly on that. It has been at times been our Achilles heel, and I know we'll come to the game, you know, on Saturday and on Sunday. But I know in the commentary, when you two lads were on commentary, you're talking about that offensive penalty kill that we have. However, you know, giving away some of the silly penalties were the only times when I felt a little bit off.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing coming into this, I think we talked about it on last week's show, and I managed to ask Goody about it just after the game. Actually, weathering that tight encounter with Nottingham over in Nottingham coming into this week, I think it served us really, really well. You know, you're talking about the Giants being, you know, comfortable throughout, despite it being a tight scoreline. I would probably say that it's because they've come off the back of that. They've encountered Kevin Carr as a hot goalie. They've encountered a Nottingham Panthers side that have picked their game up a little bit since the first couple of times we encountered them over there. You know, those first two trips were pretty much blowouts. And then for them to take us so close just last week, I think probably was the game that we needed. If you could pick any of those to be the precursor to the semi-final, it was probably that one. So I think the boys come in knowing what they were up against. I think they knew that they were going to have to bear down and work really hard and get a lot of shots on Carr in order to beat him. And once again, you know, Captain Fantastic, David Goodwin, just continues to prove over and over again why he earned that C. You know, it raised some eyebrows from people whenever David Goodwin was announced as the Belfast Giants captain. But time and time again, both on the ice and off it, he's proven to me and to everybody else why he deserves it. It's someone who gets it. It's someone who I think really, really wants to make his name here and stamp a bit of a legacy here. I'm starting to get that impression from him. There's a little bit of that Adam Keefe energy rubbing off on Goody, I think. You see it off the ice with the work that he does and his engagement with fans, but also on the ice in terms of his willingness and his ability to haul the game onto his back, along with that fantastic top line. But look, we're set up for an absolute blockbuster final. Cardiff versus Belfast has been the fixture of the season. You could barely get a bit of paper between the sides at times, and I can't wait to hear that SSE arena full. As Sid says, the tickets have flown out and we're in for an absolute barn burner, which I hope we win.
Yep, those tickets for the 16th of March, the Challenge Cup final, the first Challenge Cup final in Belfast in a long, long time. Belfast Giants against the Cardiff Devils. £10 a ticket, I think that's... Yep, £10 a ticket, worth every single penny for what has been said is going to be a barn burner of a final. And we look forward to it. Right, and then we move on to Saturday. And the Belfast Giants popped over to the Sky Dome in front of 1,923 people, I think it was. And looking at this, nice work, Davey. Where they were ran out 3-2 victors. It was a very quick early goal for the Coventry Blaze with John Curran scoring it in the opening minute. And then Yanni Lakanen scoring 7:06 to give them a 2-goal advantage in their own barn. But in the second period, the Giants hit back Lewis Hook, Sam Rupp and Kevin Rain made it 3-2, no further goals. And that was the 2 points in the bag for the Belfast Giants. The Coventry Blaze did have a goal ruled out in the third period. We'll come to that. Tyler Brescia-Rowani, 23 shots against, back in nets for the Belfast Giants after a prolonged period out following that injury against the Dundee Stars. 23 shots against, two goals, two goals against, and the other side, CJ Mott, 32 shots against, three goals against. Your referees are Liam Sewell and Chris Wells. Says it was an early start for the Blaze, but the Giants had to show resolve, which they did with these three goals in the second period.
Yeah, it was a, when the boys are, they were delayed getting over, there was a wee few tweaks of their schedule than what they'd normally be used to, and they just didn't get off to a good start. You know, the Blaze come out and they were firing on all cylinders and early on, and you know, to be honest, they probably could have been a couple more goals up as the game went on. But you know, when we stepped out for the second period, it was arguably our best second period of the season, because Davies had pointed out a few times that the second period for us, we've sort of struggled in this season. You know, and I can't remember how many shots, but I think it was, I think the shot count was something like 20 to 3 or 20 to 4, something like that. We absolutely dominated it. And even Danny Stewart, who's had a tough week himself, he came out and mentioned that, you know, the Giants just stepped it up in the second period. So, you know, to come out, get those three goals, a couple of unlikely goal scores, I mean, the Kevin Rayne Arena again, getting another goal, and big, good to see big Sam Roop getting on the score sheet. So, you know, to come out with the win in a difficult building under difficult circumstances, and let's be honest, as I say, we didn't play our best for 60 minutes, is what it's all about. We're finding ways to win. And, you know, when we come out of that, we find ways to win. That's where, you know, you're basically pushing down the line. The Steelers are doing exactly the same. They're coming out every game. They go 2-0 down against the Blaze on Saturday, Sunday night, I think it was, actually. And then they come back, I think they won 5-3 altogether as well. So it's important that when we're not playing our best, we just get those goals at crucial moments, and that's exactly what happened on Saturday night. Great to get the 2 points. Great to get out of there and get home against the Manchester Storm the next day.
Joel, you know, the game was feisty at parts, and you know, I know we've got a video of the Rats against Longer in a fight, but it was the Blaze showed early on, as said, you know, they do have the ability to sort of rattle a few cages. The Giants had to be professional in that in the remainder of the game if they want to keep on the toes of the Sheffield Steelers, and that's exactly what they were.
Yeah, look, it's a hard thing to do, especially, excuse me, if you go a couple goals down early and you're on the road in their building with their fans. It's hard not to get pulled into that sort of a game, and that's probably what Coventry would have wanted from the Belfast Giants. It was great to see Kieran Long step up with that little tilt, and he made absolute short work of it as well. A couple of things to point out from this game, really. Kieran Long just continues to be that utility player for the Belfast Giants. He is now showing, I feel anyway, the promise and the potential that he showed in that breakout season in Manchester. I think he had an absolutely fantastic game. I think he almost scored shorthanded on another penalty kill. And that leads me on to sort of the second point. I mentioned it on the webcast with Simon on Sunday afternoon. The Belfast Giants defense and defensive elements contributing offensively. How good is it to see that on a night like that, and in that second period, I mean, the Giants come out a different team and shellack the Coventry Blaze, but to see those goals from Rupper and from Rayner, and to see the penalty kill continue to provide an offensive spark as well, and actually not just clear the zone and send it north or whatever else, but actually go forward and press and get pucks deep and in on the goalie. It's lovely just to see that there's more strings to the bow of the Belfast Giants, and that we can rely up and down the roster for big moments whenever they're required.
Davey, there was a decent turnout from Giants fans as well to see this, which is great to see from our perspective, and seeing the travelling fans going to Coventry. And what they got was exactly what you want to see from the Giants, and a come from behind victory. And you're on mute now.
That's two. It's a nightmare.
That was me having a wee cough during that, because Sis told me off last week for coughing on mic. So I've tried to mute myself there. So apologies for that. Yes, good little turnout from the Belfast Giants fans. It's always good. You can tell they've had a good trip when it's still sort of the banter still going on a week later on Twitter. So fair play to them for that. As you say, good come from behind win. I just thought that we used our speed so well in the second period. We just got from back to front so quick, got them deep, you know, to put it back the blue line, and that bomb from Rayner is absolutely fantastic for his confidence for the team going forward as well. It's one of those, we just have to keep winning. Doesn't matter how you get it, it just, you know, you got to come up with a big W, and that's what the boys did there on as I said earlier about big Sam Ribb coming in on the back stick there, coming from high to low, and the way Scott Conway found him. Scott Conway has had an exceptional February. He's had a really, really good season, but some of his in-close play, I'm not just a dangle in the circle there around two D men and just then feed it across for Rupper coming in because CJ Mott setting himself expecting a shot. So really nice play from those. JJ Pickens, Scott Conway, and David Goodwin, when they're on the ice together, create so much. Many points, as nice as must be 140, maybe 170 points or something between the three of them. Just 70, off the top of the head, 70, 70, and 50 or something like that, isn't it? Something incredible,
190,
anyway.
190, yeah.
So nearly 200 points between those three guys in 49 games.
We've still got a couple of months of the season to go.
Yeah, just exceptional. So, that when they're on the ice, there's danger for the other team, and they find each other so well. They find space so well. And they know their roles within the sort of threesome. Two get free, one does the daggles, and you will go into the Manchester game and you see them again. But, you know, to go into Coventry, be two goals down against a good goaltender like CJ Mott, and to come out with that big win is so, so important at this stage of the season. It's not how you do it, it's just a big getting it done.
Paddy, what I was going to say was, you know, you've got that line of Conway, Goody, and Pickenich. When they're firing, they're really firing. And on Saturday night, it was one of those games that I think Conway might have got a point. I don't think any other Estlin got a point, you know. And it's one of those games, as I say, where we need scoring from other areas. And you know, that when you look at the line of Hookie, Longer, obviously Boucher was back, which was great because he picked up a couple of helpers on it, and Tyler Soy, you know, because there's been upheaval on that line and Boucher has been missing for a couple of weeks now, you know, it gives other guys opportunities to step up. But let's be honest, you know, I think they'd be the first to put their hands up and say, we need to be playing better. Great to see Hookie getting a goal. I think he picked up a helper on the third goal as well from Kevin Rain. But it's important that, you know, the third line and you're getting help from the defensive end as well. So, you know, it was great to see that when Cons, Pick and Goody didn't get on the score sheet, on Saturday night, that all our guys stepped up, and that's the important part of getting the win. Because if you're not going to, you know, you need to be playing 3-9 and if potentially 4-9 hockey going down the stretch. There's a lot of hockey still to be played, a lot of games upcoming, and it's important, as I say, that the other guys step up when sometimes it just don't click. It wasn't the case the next night.
To be fair, yeah, no. I think that, sorry, yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Joel. Go ahead, Joel.
No, you're fine. Carry on.
I was going to say, just to sort of go on the back of what Simon was saying there, we've been pretty lucky this season. Well, lucky is not the right term. Whenever Goody, Pick, Cons haven't, you've had guys like Coops, Doggett, Soy, Hookie, Laker, all coming up with big points, and then the guys from the back end have been kind of contributing all season, which is really good. The shots from the back end is incredible in terms of numbers. You know, how many opportunities guys create right through the six or seven sometimes when Longer's playing on the back end. So, kind of just rubber stamping what Simon's saying there. You know, it's really good that you get that secondary, tertiary scoring as well when you need it.
The only other thing we haven't mentioned, sorry, Paddy, is just the end of that game whenever Johnny Curran stepped up on the 6-on-4 power play and went Bardowski, and with 7 seconds left. I think a lot of people thought that was an entirely different outcome. A bit of a debacle in the way it was sort of handled afterwards, and the fact that Coventry don't have that kind of goal line tech from what I can tell. But I think we're obviously unanimous that didn't even nearly cross the line from the replays, right?
Nowhere near.
Is this the Coventry just don't have the goal line tech? Because was it our game against them previously as well, where it came to we were convinced we had scored and we didn't get ruled because they had no goal line tech? It's ridiculous in this.
I think it was a game at the start of the season that happened.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's 2022 in the Elite League. All teams should have goal line tech. It should be operational, or there should be fines.
So I believe that goal line tech was at one point in all rinks and may even still be in all rinks, but the software, the technology just isn't.
Come on, man.
What was it? What way was it put?
The bottom line, let me just,
hang on, let me just check if this was a DM or whether this was a tweet.
I actually remember seeing something about it on, I think it was John Jones.
Yeah,
I think it was John.
John was the one originally involved with installing it in the rinks.
Yeah, and I think it was in all the rinks. But the bottom line is, all the teams should just have to pay for it themselves. It's not fair. And you know what? Okay, we've seen that, as Joe quite rightly pointed out, we've seen that was not a goal. But how many times are they going to lose out on that this season? How,
That's exactly it.
Could potentially miss the playoffs here, and it could come down to because they didn't have the goal line technology. Danny Stewart's mentioned it a couple of times. You know, they just don't have the facilities to put it up and they're, you know, above the net itself. You have to find a way to get it done. Every other team should have to have invested in it. Yeah, I think every other team is invested in it. But
there has to be some sort of sanction. This should be a standard across all rinks. Listen, if Manchester and Fife have it, there's no reason why Coventry can't have it.
True.
Literally no reason.
Not arguing.
Have you found it, Davey? Moving on.
Hang on.
Go on.
Brilliant audio.
Move on. It was installed there in Coventry. Whether there's still technical support available to the clubs remains to be so
discovered.
The cameras may be there, the cameras may have been taken out, but the technical support to actually work the cameras, I assume there's some sort of software linked to a laptop.
What a season it's been for the Coventry Blaze.
Have yourselves a season,
what a week.
couple of weeks, not just that, like their ice plant goes, they lose games. Yeah. Anyway, we'll come to that later on. We'll move on. The highlights in that game are available from Blaze TV. And we'll move on to Sunday, where the Belfast Giants returned home for the game against the Manchester Storm. And it was a 6-3 victory for your Belfast Giants. Giants goals coming from Goodwin, Pickenich, Conway with two, Pickenich with another, and Cooper rounding out in the empty net. And the Storm goals coming from Frankie Melton, Scott Simmons, and Cameron Critchlow. Jackson Whistle back in nets for the Giants, 39 shots against, 3 goals against. And Jason Pekashua has 28 shots against, 5 goals against. Your wrestler, Matt Thompson and Andy Dalton. At times, Joel, this felt like a bit of a cat and mouse affair.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it. The Manchester Storm brought it back to within a goal, no less than twice during that game. To be honest, this was a game where the Giants had to win ugly. You know, we were not at our best. We were taking silly penalties. We were letting them in off the drop, excuse me, after scoring. And to be fair, you know, Simon sort of said it in the pre-show just before that game faced off, that, you know, you'd expect Manchester to come into the SSC Arena on a Sunday afternoon, having been away the night before in Cardiff, I believe, and sit back and let the Giants come at them and look for their chances on the break. The Manchester Storm didn't do that. They took the game to Belfast, and that's to their credit. And Belfast had to find a way there. You know, the recurring theme that we keep talking about here, especially on the road for the past 3 weeks and during this game as well, is the Giants finding a way. Sometimes the game plan goes out the window, but what you have to do is bear down and find your way to win. But my goodness, we did not make it easy for ourselves. I think we were on the 5-on-3 kill twice, and the second one I think they scored on. But look, as the old cliche goes, winning pretty and winning ugly, it doesn't matter. You just have to win. And thank goodness we did that. But there were times during that game where I kind of thought, you know, we're going to drop this here. We're going to, through our own kind of silly mistakes and being sloppy. The one thing I wanted to point out, if you don't mind, Paddy, I really love watching Jeff Baum play. Jeff Baum, I think, with the majority of the fan base, maybe flies under the radar a little bit, because he's not necessarily throwing in the big, massive hits. He's not one of the bigger bodies the way Kevin Rayner or whatever would be. But I love watching him compensate for his lack of size on a decor with his technique. Just the way he moves his body, the way he tracks the puck, and the way he sort of takes players out using his body just positionally, I think he's an absolute joy to watch. I really, really like Jeff Baum during this game. I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was really, really good. He's been really good for like last couple of months. I think he's a great player. Davey, it's not often that a team comes in, especially a team in the position that the Storm are in, that they come into the SSC Arena and outshoot the Giants.
Yeah, one of the few games that when you look back at the stat sheet on when it comes through the next day, you know, if you hadn't seen the game and you didn't know the score and you were just given the stats, you would probably say that Manchester Storm have came away with a win in it, in terms of shots, in terms of, you know, grade A scoring chances, in terms of even face-offs and different bits and pieces of statistical analysis there. You'd say Manchester did pretty well, but you know what? We talked about it in the semi-final. We talked about it in the Coventry game. We talked about it, and Joel said it as well. It's just about getting the Ws at this stage of the season. And saying that, when the chances came along for us, we executed this time. You know, we've been guilty over the last few weeks, and we've talked about it on podcast after podcast about, you know, making chances and not scoring them. And maybe this game where we didn't create as many chances, but we scored more of the opportunities. This, like that first goal there, guys, very unlucky with it.
one of the highlights here is Conn's giving it
absolutely. So good. That is
relentless. He is relentless.
He loves it.
Sis has been saying from September, guy likes a chirp. Like you've seen in the last couple of weeks, the winning goal, or well, not even the winning goal, sorry, the game tying goal away in Nottingham a couple of weeks ago, the penalty shots that he scored, that goal there. I'm not exactly sure. It comes, maybe the next goal or the following goal. I think Sis said something to Conn's on Twitter the other night about it, and he says it's all about Goody's setup, the slap shot from the top of the circle. But you watch Scott Conway's movement. David Goodwin can only make that pass if Scott Conway makes that little move to get into that space, and it comes up on the slow-mo, absolutely brilliant, where he just checks back. This here, if you watch Conway's, this isn't great for a podcast, it's okay on YouTube. If you watch Conway's movement here, just to come backwards, all the D are going into net.
Sorry for interrupting, but the whole point of it is, because he's got his head up, look at the two forwards that are coming back from Manchester. They skate right past him, and he just...
They're just heading for the net, mate. They're just heading, let's get in front of the net. And Conway does brilliant. And same with that, skip backwards there, but absolutely brilliant finish. And then with the next one, where he just follows a puck in, I think it's maybe Longer has the shot, it pops up, and he goes on in and just finishes. Ah, there's Longer's shot there now. Bokashi fires it up in the air, and Conway just eye to hand coordination. These guys practice this all the time. This isn't luck. That's just going to the blue paint and good things happen. Puck popped up and he scored it. Yes, we'll let them come back in. Yes, there was times we took penalties where, you know, you said earlier in the show, Simon, you know, about maybe we were a bit inconsistent with our play in terms of taking penalties. It happens. And unfortunately, we give a 5-on-3 away. We couldn't kill it. And we give them a few opportunities to get back in the game. But I thought towards the end of the game, they tired a little bit, and we were able just to keep the foot down that wee bit more. Maybe being at home and stuff was, you know, that road trip for them just caught up with them, and we were able to press on in the third period and take the W. Mark Cooper tried his very best not to score an empty netter. I'm sure he'll get a bit of stick at the rink tomorrow for that.
He made amends,
and I think says just there. I think Joel Ann says called that one into the net, but. You know, 6-3 home win. You take the W's where they come from. And good to see Wiss back in the nets getting another good performance. And him and Best go across the weekend, two games, two wins. So happy days.
Things like that always bring me back to the Sheffield Steelers and Mosienko missing an empty net, and then the Giants coming back to equalize and go on to win the game. Sometimes, you know, you can get grief and it's all right, we can turn around and have a smile, but if you don't, sometimes you really do need to hit them, because they otherwise they can come back and haunt you.
I think that might have given us the best ever podcast title. That's one of the best ever.
Mosienko empty nets.
Yeah,
harking back to the Manic Street Preachers. It was an absolutely fabulous one. Some of the times Giants lost concentration after scoring, and we've said, you know, allowing the Manchester Storm to get back into it. But also, as Davies pointed out, you know, we had a 5-on-3. There was a 5-minute major to Sam Rupp where we got 5+ game for cross checking. I know the referees came in for a bit of stick from the crowd, and I know that both you lads in commentary said it seemed fair enough.
Yeah, it was a penalty. You know, if you watch the lead up to it, there's a big there was a couple of minutes before that Sam got hit by Taylor Thompson at neutral ice, and he just sort of, once he got hit, he was stung, and he just had to look up, took his number, and the next shift they have the opportunity, the puck goes around the wall from Pickenich. And he steps in there to lay the hit. Both guys were just, forget about the puck, let's just hit each other. And when they hit each other, one of them, Thompson went down. When he jumped back up again, Sam, you know, instead of just dropping the gloves and punching the face off him, he hit him in the face with a stick. However, you know, was it a 5+ match? It's a difficult one. Davey probably be able to slow that video down. I don't have the knowledge to do that. But, you know, when you're looking at it from distance, at first I thought it was definitely a penalty. 5+ game, I thought it was harsh. However, the whole story of the game is all about what we just mentioned there a few minutes ago in the last analysis of the Coventry game. It's all about Pickenich, Goodwin, and Conway. That's it. 11 points between the three of them on Sunday night. 11 points and no 6 goals. JJ got 2+1. Conn's got 1+2. And Goody got 1+4, but 5 points on his birthday. Davey pointed out, first time ever happened for a chant. But That's what it's all about. And, you know, there were some really good performances. Again, you know, you're taking another too many men on the ice penalty. That is so frustrating. You can see Adam's reaction after doing it again. You're not just talking about six guys on the ice. I think there's nearly eight. There are possibly nine guys that were on the ice for that penalty. You've got to keep your head up. If the defenseman for Manchester seen that happening and hit the puck over towards him, he's an absolute genius. And if he meant to do that, then that's fair play to him. But it's happening so often. How many too many man penalties have we had this year, Jimmy?
10, 11, 12, something like that.
You know, you need to be, especially coming down the stretch. We do it against Cardiff or Sheffield, they're going to punish you. Manchester punishes. Yeah, they've got it in a 5-on-3, but they punish this. So we need to get that tightened up. You need to be, when you're, it's not always about the guy stepping on the ice. The guy coming off the ice needs to bust his balls to get off the ice. I know he might be out there for a long shift, but you need to bust it to get off the ice as quick as possible and give your other guy coming on the opportunity to get on and clear. So it's imperative that down the stretch here that we really tighten up on that. Again, I don't think at any time, yes, we made mistakes. Yes, we turned the puck over far too often. But in saying that, again, they scored 3, we scored 6, we win the game. That's all it comes down to. It wasn't pretty. It was a difficult game to call at times. But the bottom line is, as I say, the 2 points, a 4-point weekend, and we move on to the next one.
How key was it that we had, a full lineup for the first time since October?
I think it was the 20th of November, Davey said.
Was it November?
20th of November. It was a Saturday night game with the first lineup. Now, still, Bush wasn't feeling 100%. He's still feeling a wee bit on low weather. Darcy wasn't feeling 100%. He's found it difficult to just get things going. He took a big hit again, you know, and his timing's not there at the minute. I'm just hoping that he can really find his feet over the next couple of weeks and get going. He's getting there in training, but, you know, I've said before, it's been a really difficult season for the wee man, and I'm really, really fond of him. I'm just hoping they can really get down the stretch here and really start putting in some performances, because we could do with him and we could really do with you know, him stepping up and getting another few goals. So it can't be left the 11-point games for Collins picking and Goody every game. And again, Jackson did really well. You know, at opportunities, they could have scored a couple more goals, especially in the power play. But after we got that 5-minute major, there's a few times that we did look tired. And that's totally understandable because you're killing so many bloody penalties and it's the same guys. So it's one of them ones where, as I say, the weekend, we didn't play well, but we come out with 4 points. So if anybody's going to, you know, post on Twitter or social media about, you know, the prospect of, you know, we need to play better, we need to do it. You can play a lot better than that and get beat.
Yep.
So forget about that. You didn't play well, you come out with 4 points and you move on.
We've played, go back to that first game in Cardiff, one of the very best games we've played this season, and you get beat. So you're absolutely right. You win some, you lose some, and there's not always a rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah.
I think my perspective from this game as well is the fact that, you know, there are always the banana skins, and you've got the way that the Storm came in, and they came in and they outshot us. You know, we've talked about how they've outshot us. It could have been a banana skin game on the back of it being, you know, the Challenge Cup semi-final, the travel to Coventry and coming back. The other side is, and I was chatting to a good friend of all of ours, and Mr. Brooks, no longer of this parish, but now with Ulster, and he was talking about how savvy it's been with regards to the way that the scheduling's come up. You know, that yes, we're away, you know, Coventry isn't too bad, they come over at the same time and they're flying over at the same time as us and able to play here. This weekend we've got the three games against Guildford. Well, they've got the two games here and then flying over there, so they've got to travel twice and we only have to travel once. So, you know, I think coming into this stretch, Joel, the scheduling is going to be key.
Especially this year with sort of the congestion of fixtures towards the end. Well, you know, it's the one thing about the Belfast Giants, that something that I think that we have over any other team in the Elite League, is the fact that anywhere we go, any road game that we play, you've got across the Irish Sea. Our travel is just by its nature, by our geographic location, much, much harder. And I think it's something that, you know, at times it's tough, especially when you've maybe got, you know, those 3-and-3s, you have to bounce backwards and forwards and have a midweeker at home and then you're away at the weekend. But I think it also builds resilience. You know, you're at the point now where you're, what, what are we, month five of the season now? And the boys who maybe didn't have that type of travel before, you know, guys who have been down in the jungle in the East Coast League are probably used to week-long stretches on the road on a bus or whatever. But boys that are getting used to flights, ferries to buses, all that kind of thing, they're used to it now. They're tougher because of it. And it's maybe something that we have to kind of to our advantage. It's actually a really good point from Brooksy, you know, that kind of scheduling is playing to our advantage. And fair play to anyone who sat down with the chess pieces in preseason or during the season as games were rescheduled and figured out kind of the best way for us to kind of benefit from it. There's so many elements that, you know, what you're saying is there's so many elements, not just on the ice, that contributes to a winning season or a team's success. And even having that full lineup, as you said, this is there, Paddy, that changes the dynamic of that locker room. You know, there's times whenever we're going away on the road, especially a month ago, whenever we were bringing in Kel and Mac and we were short benched going somewhere, we knew it was going to be a tough game. That gives you a bit of piss and vinegar. You're going in there knowing that your back's against the wall. You've got some kids on the bench. You're going to have to make up numbers, double up your shifts. You're not going to have, you know, those extra bodies, and you're going to have to look after the kids. So the dynamic changes as well. Whenever you're home on a Sunday afternoon, you've got a full lineup for the first time, maybe in the season. I think this feels like the first weekend we've had absolutely everyone. And even though maybe a couple of them weren't 100%, Darcy, Bush, whatever else, it maybe gives you that extra layer of comfort that maybe isn't always a good thing to have in the locker room. It's such a complex web of elements that come together to create a winning season and success.
Yeah,
I guess I know you want to move on, Paddy, but I think Sez talked about it last week as well, and probably Keepers alluded to it as well. Having that full lineup and having 3.5 lines as opposed to 4 lines isn't always advantageous, because guys have been rolling those 3 lines over the last few months because we've been short benched, and they're used to playing a regular shift, and they're used to playing 20 minutes a night, and now some of them are maybe down to 10 minutes, 11 minutes, something like that. Not getting on every third shift or fourth shift, whatever it would be, brings its own problems. So, you know, there was times over the course of the weekend where those guys who haven't been playing over the last while are having to try and find their legs again. Sez has talked there about Darcy and his timing and stuff, and those things will hopefully come over the next few weeks, because a fit Darcy Murphy in good timing, sniping goals, is just what we need down the stretch here.
Here. The highlights of that game available, of course, from the guys at Belfast Giants TV. And we move on to the fan agenda brought by our good friends at Giants TV. And we're welcoming back a good friend of the podcast, a man we always enjoy having on here. One of our favorite Belfast Giants. As he, I'm just looking at the screen. Is he ready to join us? He sort of flipped around. Yep, there he's ready to go. Do you want to add him in, Davey? Mister.
Oh, my Gem Z.
I can say that.
You did. Echo! Mr. Andrew Dixon.
Yeah. Right, he's on hooking. He's escaping.
Turn your phone around. Right,
he's away. He's away. He's watching Spurs, says.
No.
Okay, turn the phone around.
No.
Please.
There you go. That's far it's better.
Hold on, let me go this way. All right, there you go. Happy?
How you doing, Dicko?
I'm all right. Not too bad. What's crack?
Yeah, not too bad. What was your assessment of the last weekend? Oh no, actually, let's go all the way back to the game we can't forget. Let's see, how was your assessment of the semi-final of the Challenge Cup?
Semi-final. Exactly. It was good. Does that many games? I've lost touch. No, it was good. I was on comms with Sez, which wasn't so good.
Stop. You're not having that.
That's enough.
We've been saying this for weeks. You're actually, we all agreed you're excellent at the comms. We all enjoy hearing you talk about, and you do really, really well. So none of that nonsense.
Yeah, you must have been anyone lined up for a while if you're pumping my tires like that. No, it was a good game. It was a real tough game. And obviously, we talked about it on air. Nottingham had, you know, pretty much all their eggs in that basket as well right now, because they're pretty much done in terms of winning the league. Obviously, they're still playing for their position. So it was a good game. And obviously, it was really important. We knew we would have the home ice if we got to the final. So great opportunity. When's the last time we had a final here in Belfast? I suppose it was that European one, but there hasn't been much over the years. So yeah, it was really good. And I hope everyone enjoyed it.
I think it was entertaining to watch. And it's good, like you say, to have the Giants playing in the final at the SSC Arena. But let's go further back, and let's have a quick question about you coming on against Fife the week before and the ovation that you got for that.
Yeah. Again, I think I spoke to Sez about it. It was really humbling, and it was great for me personally. But that's all it is. It's just personally a little thing for me. It was nice to give Jackson a couple of minutes off because obviously Besko was out of the lineup there for a little bit, so give him a couple of minutes off. But yeah, it was nice for me. But you know, the game is pretty much done, and then when I came on, the guys done a very good job, and Limited pretty much kept them to nothing. And so yeah, anything that happens for me at this point, or most of the players, I'll tell you, is pretty much secondary to the team right now. It's a big team effort to try and get to the end of the season and come home with some silverware.
Deco, I know. We talked about it on the podcast last week about this team first attitude. That's absolutely fantastic. It's what we want to hear as fans, first and foremost. That's all we are. But we also talked about what Andrew Dixon does away from Saturdays and Sundays, in that when you're at the Ice Bowl or you're at the Odyssey, and Besko and Wiss have gone in for their shower, that you're standing out there taking pucks off the head, when letting Cooper get, you know, letting him get sharp, but Darcy wants to stay on, do a bit of shooting, whoever, you're that guy. You're as important as Besko and West, this organization, even if you don't know it.
Yeah, well, obviously, I do recognize that as a third goalie, it was the same whenever I was a number two, that you have to do those little extra things. It comes with the job, you know, the starter needs to get his shots and then go. And obviously, we have two very good goalies right now, so keeping them both healthy and letting them rotate and do the things good. So I don't mind doing the legwork. And as you said, there's other guys out there doing it too. Mike and Kel are doing their thing like they should when they're young, although they have school and things like that there to get to. And then you have Darcy and Coops coming out, and Goody as well. Actually, sets a good example as a captain. So it's certainly not just me, and I don't mind doing it. It's nice because, you know, to be honest with you, sometimes in the practices I don't get as many shots as I would like, and I understand it. So if I can't get them in the practice, sometimes it's good to stay on and get a little bit of a workout after anyway. So it's win-win for me.
No follow-up, David, no?
No, says, but we've been doing this for a long time now, where you go and then Joel goes and then Paddy goes. And
Thanks,
your first week.
Get go. I want to just.
You're watching on. Spurs, aren't you? You're watching Spurs.
Nice.
Well, if he's watching, he'll notice that they're now 1-0 down.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk. I just move on. Deco, the I mean, obviously, in 12 years now as a Giant, you know, over those 12 years, you've had a lot of different teammates. You've had a lot of different guys there that, you know, you've got to become friends with, and this group this year, you know, you're sitting beside one of the best chirpers that's been around the Giants locker room for a long time, and Scott Conway. You get to hear, you know, what he's come out with every day. What's his best chirp that he's come out with this season that you've heard?
I'll tell you the biggest little nonsense. The other day, I came in the dressing room after the game, and he was chirping what I was wearing, and he said he was the best dressed player in the team. What a laugh, man. He was an absolute clown. It was like, oh, it's shoelaces as tight as they would go. I'll try and get a picture of it. Absolute clown.
Yeah, see if you can get a photograph of that. And you were talking.
Do you want to hear the latest one? Mr. 80%, that's what he's now called. He thinks he scores 80% of the shots he takes on me, which is absolute nonsense. And then the other day, we were talking about football, and he was talking about if he had a breakaway, you know, like running in from the halfway line on Premier League goals, he said he would score 8 out of 10 times.
That's a wild dick.
Cods.
But you know what we'll do? We'll try and organise that at Larne. We'll get him up against
Ember Park is wide open.
One of the donkeys down at, one of the goalies down at Larne.
You don't need one of the goalies down at Larne. I'll do it. And you'll not score more than one.
Says, do you have a follow-up?
I'm watching football, mate. Carry on.
Yeah, so, I mean, speaking of Larne, Dicko, it's really nice to see you tonight, especially seeing as you usually text me whenever Coleraine beat Larne. Obviously, the Bonsiders have just nailed a 95th minute equaliser on, which is a great night out. listen, that game in Nottingham, the sensational late kind of comeback goal, you know, Davey mentioned it there, and we've been talking about it in recent weeks, about those extra shifts that you kind of do in practice and doing that extra work that nobody really sees. You know, use your words, Julie, do you get job satisfaction whenever something like that happens? You know, I think it was Coops that scored with 0.4 seconds remaining on Kevin Carr to tie that game 2-2 after a frantic sort of goal-mouth scramble, boys taking their hacks and trying to find their way in against the pressure of the clock. Is that where you kind of get your satisfaction? Like, you know, you've done everything that you can to prepare those boys for that kind of moment, and what a pivotal moment it could have been.
I wouldn't say, if I'm being honest, that it's, you know, that I think about it. I'm just as happy as anyone else on the bench, you know, that it goes in. I mean, let's face it, everyone works hard. No one really takes a day off whenever they're on the ice. We don't have any guys who, you know, are just punching in the numbers or anything out there. So I think it would be unfair if I said I was working harder than anyone else. I'm certainly not. Everyone's doing their job. No, I was just very happy for the team. And obviously, I'm happy for Coops as well. He does do all the little extra bits, and he works hard and he goes in the corners. And you know, he's not on that top line that's getting a lot of well-deserved plaudits right now, but he's very important to the team. And if you actually watch that game, he got robbed in the exact same spot. I think it was in the first period. He had an absolute grade A backdoor open net, exact same spot, like on the exact same spot of the ice.
And that's robbed him. The paddle save.
It's the same player. It's the same. And, you know, for him to, you know, have the presence of mind to stay there and know that just because his goalie's robbed you there once, don't change what you're doing. He goes right back into that spot, and you know, he taps home that very important goal. And a little shout out to Jeff Mason and Taff as well, because on the play there, the whistle before that, a couple of seconds came off the clock, and they're, you know, shouting at the referees, you know, that we've lost time, and little things like that you maybe don't notice, or maybe you do notice, but it's very important, and obviously that could be a huge goal come the end of the season.
Let's go to a few from Twitter. Aidan Quinn, who's got the best shot you've faced in training or in a game?
Ever? Sure, I'll tell you, the hardest. Sandy had a really hard shot, but he was quite easy on us in practice. He didn't let it off. Spiro Galakos, horrible, horrible player. Kill you. The
King of East Belfast.
He would turn when he hit his slap shot as well, and he kind of hides the blade whenever he turns. You can't see the blade, so you don't know if it's going up or down, you know. So he knocked me out one time. He woke up in the recovery position and sheds his lap with like my lip bleeding, like my teeth were all bleeding because it kind of like blew the mask off me from kind of below. In all seriousness, I must have flinched at the last second and turned my head because it'd be kind of hard for that to happen. So I woke up and I was like, I could taste the blood, and I like went to pull my teeth, and Kiefer and all were like, oh, don't do that, because if you pull your teeth, they'll come out, you know. So Spiro's shot was horrible, but there's been lots of great shots over the years. Griff has a fantastic shot now, and it doesn't hurt because it never hits me, it just goes in. So it's a different kind of hurt pride. So
there's something about having the knowledge that you don't pull your teeth out. I can't say that I've ever had that position where somebody knows, don't pull your teeth out. I've had plenty. That hurts. Going to be Kiefer. Let me see. Scott Cameron says, odd man rush coming your way, which of the current D would you want in front of you?
Griff.
Yeah.
You don't believe me. I cannot speak highly enough on him. He makes things look easy, and he does things that you don't even notice. And the reason you don't notice him is because he's already noticed that it's going to happen, and he eliminates it, you know, prevents it before it even starts. I really can't speak highly enough of him. Unbelievable D-man, so smart. But, you know, I'm happy enough with all the boys. I'd say they'd be more worried having me back there than I am with them. So,
Alan Brett. Not so much a question, but congratulations on securing victory in the prestigious and much sought after Pirates Adventure Golf Hole in One Challenge 2022.
You look very well.
Trophy, you look very proud, mate. You look very proud.
Well, it's because Captain Mouthpiece Scott Conway was giving me all the jet right before I putted it, so, and he missed his. So, but, you know, it was a wet and windy night, and I was trying to get out of it from I was working before, but Sis didn't give me an answer. So I had to come up.
You missed the last three. You missed the last three.
When was that? Well, I hardly landed. That was like 3 years ago. Get over it.
As you tell. You're doing comms on Friday night. Thanks very much.
That's fine. I'll do comms on Friday. Who's doing it Saturday, though?
I'll tell you. I think Graham Walton's doing it on Saturday.
Because there's something very suspicious. He texts me an hour before the game. Dicko, we've exhausted every avenue. There's no one available. I go up in the box. Shane Johnson's sitting. Joel's sitting. All these guys are sitting. Is it funny that? So.
Well, hey, listen, where were you on Sunday? Because I was the one that got that text. Sis always makes you feel really good. He's like, mate, I have tried everybody and nobody's free. Would you please come on?
Yeah, go come like, okay. Some excuse saying he was with his nieces.
They don't come all that much, but they came there, and the next game they'll be at the cup final as well. So they don't come all that often.
Was that your two nieces in Sweet 24 last week?
Sweet 24? No, you would notice that. Davey.
Davey.
No. I'm interested in this, where this is going.
Well, this jet sink ships, so as says would sink me.
That's
just as well. Nobody listens to us, mate, isn't it? Nobody listens to us anyway.
Let's try.
I knew this show would pick up when Deco appeared, man.
let's try and throw a hockey question in. Deco, obviously, what is it? Says 10, 11, 12 years or something now at the club, and you've had, I'm sure, lots of highlights and probably involving your old mate Stephen Murphy as well. But is there anything that really sticks out to you as that'll be whenever you hang them up? That'll be something. Hopefully, there's many more highlights to come, but something you'll maybe look back on and go, that was a great day.
Personally, that the first win at home was always a big one. I always say that because you never know if you can do it until you can do it, until you've done it, you know. So that's like a big hurdle, a big thing. So that was good, but probably the best thing, obviously, is that time we won the league. What was it? What year was it? 2012, 2011?
11, 12.
Yes, Steelers. Yeah, against the Steelers, exactly.
So many players. Deco, sorry to jump in. So many players of this era. The Jeff, I think Mace actually scored that night in the power play.
Kiefer Mace, says it.
Kiefer, even Sheds, and I'll go back to that. But I was going to ask you another question there.
I think is that also because that's probably also because in recent memory, it's the only time that we've won it on the ice. The two that came after that weren't won on the ice. We were in a Nottingham restaurant at the time, and also then the last one, which came right at death when everybody's in the hotel. So if you go back, that's the last title, the last league title we've won that was won on the ice.
Yeah, and even I think before that, I remember talking to someone like George Iwata. And he said that they won it and they weren't even playing. They had to like 06,
fix 06 we were 06 yeah, we weren't playing year. Because not because yeah, Newcastle just played Edinburgh.
Yeah, George Iwata was on the team and we spoke about it and stuff. And he was saying the same thing. He was saying, "Oh, we weren't even together. We had to like text, like, oh, where are we meeting?" You know, and then everyone had to go and meet someone. Yeah. Then that one in 2014. I mean, Paul Eady lived in, or his family lived in Nottingham, so he wasn't there. The one at the awards dinner, at least we were all there and we had, you know, we were with fans, so that was something. But there's nothing, listen, it doesn't matter what way you win the league as long as you win it. But it's maybe just a little tiny bit better if you win it on home ice. It's something very special. But you know that moment when you're all on the ice, just the players, you're all on the ice, bombed into a corner, everyone going mad. Like that's what I remember. I don't even remember much. I remember Doughty having a very... He tried to like a little bit of a spin move. I remember that. I remember Peaks jumping up and down on the bench beside me when we scored, and that's about it. And I remember Adam Keefe kicking a puck out of the zone as well. And that's all I remember about the game. But I remember like very vividly that being in that corner with the sold out rink. It was fantastic. So I really hope that this group of players can experience that, you know, on the 16th at home. Now, of course, it's not going to be easy. Cardiff are obviously one of the best teams in the league every year, so it'll be a very good final.
I know, Deco, you've talked in the past about whenever you've been told you're playing, maybe getting a wee bit nervous or whatever, but does it still feel as good when you get that tap on the shoulder? Are you sitting on the bench there, we're 5-6 up against 5, and you must be thinking, or maybe the coach has said to you during the break, you know, keep yourself loose there, Deco, there's a chance you'll be in this game here. When that tap comes on the shoulder, do you still get the old butterflies?
Oh, yeah, and usually I can tell early in a game if it's going to happen. Usually you can tell whenever team's just not at the races. And no disrespect to Fife that night, but that third period, they were just in one from the right period. Bang, bang, two quick goals. And then, you know, they were having penalty trouble and things like that there. So I had a rough idea that if – I just know what Kiefer and the guys are like. You know, there's no other reason to put me in there except for they knew that I would enjoy it. I knew it was going to come, and they are keen for me to get in the net whenever they can because they know that it's limited, and especially now towards the very back nine of my career, their chances to get are going to come along very often. So
Don't even say it.
That got me a wee bit there, Jules. Yeah, with it.
No, it's not having that. No having that. No. Sorry, carry on.
I'm nearly in the clubhouse. So.
I don't think you get what you mean to us.
He hasn't a notion.
I really don't think
he hasn't
you get
a notion.
It.
He doesn't care.
That's what it is. Well, I'll be honest with you. Like, I was talking to Wes after that, whenever I came on, and I am surprised whenever I get those ovations, because some of those guys, most of the people probably haven't seen me play. You know, I haven't played in the Odyssey much in the last couple of years. Anything I'd done that was remotely meaningful is at least 3 or 4 years ago now, in my opinion. And so it is strange. Don't get me wrong, I love it. It's fantastic. But I wouldn't say I don't care, but I certainly don't get ahead of myself. That's the best way to put it. I'm not thinking that I'm, you know, Patrick Waugh, you know.
You know what it is, Davey? It's that unassuming nature, I think, that endears people, though. You know, you have no idea. Like, people realize and they understand that you put that work in during the week. You do so much work and it gets unsung. And it's also the fact that, you know, Dicker, you're one of us. Like, I'm 100% convinced that if you weren't on that bench, you'd be up in the stands with everybody else watching. Do you know what I mean? But I think it's probably part of the specialness of it that Dicker has no idea. I think we should just leave it like that.
Yeah, ignorance of this. But no, if you think that's loud, wait until Mark or Kyle or something like that scores one of these days, the roof's going to come off the place, and rightly so. So, and it's very good. It's very good to see the young guys coming through.
Diggo, you know, you've just a couple of lads have touched on it there, and you'd mentioned about it as well. But you know, it's when we look at, you know, local guys coming on the ice, it genuinely means so much. And you said, okay, you haven't played for 3, maybe 4 years, you haven't really heard that ovation, but there might be some people in there that have never seen you on the ice before, new fans that have came this year, but in all fairness, that cheer that you got against Fife was probably the loudest of the night. And that, you know, and you know, it's things like that that even when I'm doing comms, it genuinely makes us proud. You know, to see you getting on the ice. I mean, I remember your first season coming up, you know, and getting the opportunity to play as a Belfast Giant. And, you know, you've seen how nervous you were even back then. And you've grown into it. And obviously you're one of the, I don't want to say elder statesmen, but you're a veteran now, especially in that locker room. You keep guys loose. You have a bit of banter with everybody. But I've said this to you on numerous occasions before. I genuinely think you underestimate what you mean to this unit, what you mean to this team, what you mean to this fan base. But don't get me wrong. I mean, you can be an absolute tube sometimes as well.
It's all part of the charm.
Listen, I just wanted to finish up. As I say, I mean, the season that we're having this year, yeah, we're in a good position. We've got the opportunity here in a final, a one-off final against the Cardiff Devils in our own rank. We're in a good position in the league. God knows what's going to happen in the playoffs coming along. You've already touched on, you know, winning the championship 2 years ago. Well, 2 years ago, and you've won 3 years ago now. But you've talked about the Paul Healy year. You've talked about the season before that with Dougie Christensen as well. How good is this team compared to those teams back in 14, 12, and 19? Well, say 18 next time.
Well, the one thing I will say, and we have spoke about it, take that 14 year out, because that 14 year, we breezed the league. Let's face it, it was done by now, you know. It was a combination of us being really good that year and other teams just maybe not being up to par, and we walked it. But that first year, when I was here, we won the league. That last year, or last full season, the years we've won the Challenge Cups, there's always been ups and downs. So we're going to find out how good this team is. We know that they've certainly got talent, they've got grit, but we're going to find out what sort of mentality they have. And I think, you know, stuff like scoring with 0.4 seconds left, overturning that Coventry double legger in the quarterfinal, all these sort of things can build character. And, do you want to say hello to Bomber?
We're gone.
All right, Bomber, what's
happening? Love that guy. Love that. Yeah, singing his praises earlier.
Yeah, I've said before, we don't have many weak links in the team, just Bomber. But No, he's a good guy. But no, as I said, you know, it's we're going to find out. You're going to see pretty much as close to our playoff series as we can have as well when we play those five games against Sheffield. It's going to probably have a big say in who ends up with the trophy at the end of the year. So we'll see the playoff mentality as well. And, you know, I think this team can do it. This team believes they can do it. The coaching staff believe they can do it. Just doesn't always play it that way. So let's hope they can.
Anything else? That's
negative. I didn't mean that to sound negative at all.
No, no, that's bang on. Right. Well, listen, this is the normal point where we go, you know, thanks for joining us, mate. We really appreciate you having your time. We're going to keep you around because we've done this a few times now. And it's really just, it's been really entertaining. This has some of the lads have been dealing with it. We're going to move on to the player of the month, sponsored by Fonacab. We asked everybody to put in their nominations for the people they want, and we've drawn up a short list of four. And your four players, as I try to bring up the video, are number six, Jeff Baums. He's still there.
Tell him, Dicko. Tell him.
Number 10, Scott Conway, one of your favorite people. Number 64, David Goodwin. And as a departure from our usual way, we've actually put all three goalies as a nominee, Jackson Whistle, Tyler Bescarani, and Andrew Dixon for their work through the month of February. So, Davey, I'll start with you. Your choice for player of the month, please.
Do this every month, don't they? I had these stats earlier. Where are they here? Where are the three goalies are my selection because championships and games, we talk about this often, championships are won by defense and goalies and forwards decide by how much, you know. So like in the month, Besko 1.99 goals against average, West 1.61, Deco zero, didn't concede anything. 91.97 for Besko, 94.38 for Wes, and Deco 100. Pretty good.
Stunning.
So between the three goalies, 93.38 and 1.77 goals against average. Exceptional month for all three goalies. Wes probably wasn't expecting to play as much if Besko hadn't went down hurt. Besko has been just riding his really good form, and rightly so. And Wes has been playing well when he's been called in after Besko went down with that injury. He stood tall, a couple of shootout wins. That game away to Nottingham, especially when we came under the pump in the last period, and he's done really well. And then Deco obviously coming and getting his time on ice as well, keeping the Five Flyers at bay that night. So I think the three goalies is a really nice opportunity for us to reward success, and those guys have been had a really successful February.
Simon.
I think Davey's got a really valid point, and I know he's just saying that because Deco's sitting there.
It's always the way. It's always the way.
It's always the way. And I mean, as I say, look, I think the guys at the back end have been great, but I don't think they're going to look past Scott Conway for this one.
It's been good. It's been good.
You know, when you look at that top nine of Conway, Pickenich, and Goody, the 11 games in February, they had 54 points. 54 points in 11 games between them. Conway, top point scorer, 9 goals, 12 assists, 21 points, 2 game winners, plus the shootout winner as well. That's outstanding. He's been brilliant. He's been absolutely brilliant for this month. I don't think anybody can look past him. And again, the goalies have done really well. Bomber, again, I thought Bomber is really strong coming down the, you know, in the January and February. I think he's been absolutely outstanding. But for me, it's definitely Scott Conway.
Collins had 2 penalty shot winners, didn't he? Or he certainly scored both goals in penalty shot.
I think the other one was given to David Goodman, did he?
He scored five away.
Yeah, I think Goody was given it as he scored, but I think Goody was given one? As the game winner.
Yeah, but he scored in it because I remember him skating past the
Nottingham fans
giving it right, so
yeah. But again, two game winners plus the shootout winner, potentially, you know, the two shootout winners. But he's been lights out, absolutely outstanding.
Julie, for the last 2 months, consistently, you've given it to our guest. Are you going to stick with that?
Do you know what? Davey's already robbed that pick, and you know that if Davey hadn't, I would have chosen the goalies, not just because Dicko's on the show tonight. Listen, Goody and Cons are points machines. I genuinely think that the key to success in the EI these days is having an effective 3-goalie system and having that depth and that ability to have the next man up and the ability to put in the work during the week. But because I mentioned him earlier, and because he's a little bit unsung, I'm going to say Jeff Baum this month. I think Bomber just does a lot of the the hard work that maybe goes unnoticed, doesn't grab the headlines. But without his defensive work, and I really, gent, like I'm in this room, especially surrounded by you boys, I'm no hockey expert compared to you guys, but I think how Bomber plays the game is very, very smart. He's not the biggest on the ice in terms of D-man, but I think his technique and his positional awareness and the way he uses his body to wedge players outside and pin players to the boards, I think he just does a lot of the stuff that you don't really, you know, like the offensive linemen, to draw a parallel, you know, you only notice them whenever they get it wrong. So I'm going to give Bomber the nod this month. I think he's been absolutely brilliant.
Before you and Dicko get the goal, just on that point, Joel, first year pro, I think, in Bomber. How much do you think his game is affected by playing with Mark Garside and playing that simple, just learning off Gary?
He plays like Gary, right? And they're of similar size as well. There has to be a link there.
Dicko?
Am I picking one here?
Go for it.
Well, I'm not going to vote for the goalies.
Why not?
Because I'm in it, but I am going to have a little word on Jackson Whistle, which I should have done earlier in the show, because I've been that number two, and it is extremely hard to go into a game when the other goalie goes down, and he didn't concede. He was fantastic in Dundee, fantastic the night after. He's been lights out ever since. That game in Nottingham, he was, you know, that could have went either way after those two goals in like a minute, bang, bang, quick goals. Sometimes you can hang your head. He was fantastic. I can't say enough about him. He's been really good. He's done all the hard work. He's waited in the wings for his opportunity, and he's got it. And I think he's given the coaching staff a little bit of a headache, because before I would have just said, yeah, you just ride Besko until the wheels fall off, which probably won't happen with Besko. But he's been fantastic, and he's coming into his prime. And I've said it to him all year, so I have. I've said, you're coming into your prime. You're right in that age where a goalie should be, 27 to 32, that sort of age where you're still quick and you're still reading the game, or you start to read the game better. So that's just a little word on Jackson Whistle. Listen, Collins has had big moments for us. So he has that tipped goal in Nottingham, the shootout goals. I mean, if we lose those shootouts, you know, we're dropping points. So all games are on the line. And as much as I'll rip on him and we'll have a little fun and go back and forth together, he is a hell of a player for us. He's a good teammate, fun guy to be around. And I would give my vote to Collins as well. So I would. But if do me a favour and don't tell him.
Barry?
I'm going for Collins. I think there's so much about Collins' game. Like, don't get me wrong, I agree with everything that's been said so far. The way the goalies have been playing, Dicko included, I was delighted to be at home for that game against Fife, and my kids were there, and it's really enjoyed seeing Dicko get out and play. It was just wonderful to be there, to be part of that elation. I was going nuts on the bridge with my brother when he came out, and the way the Wiss has come in has been said, the way Besky's been playing, the goalie's fantastic. Agreed, Bomber, coming, playing really well into the game as the season's gone on, got better and better, and I've really enjoyed what he's been doing. The captain's been playing phenomenally, doing a lot of points, coming out there and leading by example. But there's so much about Scott Conway's game that I've enjoyed, not just in the last month, but in the months gone by. The points production is phenomenal. The speed and skill is superb, and I love a bit of S housery. And yeah, you get a lot of that. And the thing I put you guys in the WhatsApp the other day, and when I looked back at that equalising goal, was mentioned earlier on, that equalising goal against Nottingham, everybody's turning to celebrate with Coops, not Scott Conway. He's screaming at the Nottingham Panthers. He's absolutely just bent over, screaming at them. And again, against the Storm, the fella in the ground, screaming at him, making sure he knows. And I love that about his game. I love a bit of that about the game. There's just something about that element of, if you're going to have those chops, you've got to have the skill to back it up. And he has the chops to back that up 100%. He's one of the outstanding GB players in the league at this moment in time. And long may that continue. So yeah, he gets my vote. Sorry, Dicko. He gets my vote for it. But yes, the Voting opens on Wednesday morning and will continue on Twitter until Friday night. Go to at AVFTV on Twitter and cast your vote. Jeff Baum, Scott Conway, David Goodwin, or the goalies. And the voting will close on Friday. And we'll present it hopefully in one of the after one of the games against the Guildford Flames this weekend. And as always, a big thank you to Phonacab for sponsoring this award. And a big thank you, of course, to Andrew Dixon. Dicko, listen, really appreciate you coming on once again. You've joined us. You've sat with us for a good 40 minutes or so there. We really appreciate you sharing a bit of the crack, and we always enjoy having you on. And hopefully we'll get... Oh, no, before I go, Sizz has something to say.
Dicko, would you lend West any money?
No, I'm not sending my money. Send it to a Dicko Direct. That's my new holding firm. I have Adam Keefe, I'm his financial advisor. I made him some money in the crypto market. So, nice. Yeah, if you want your money advice, come my way. But no, actually, Wes is he's doing a good job. So, I'm only having a bit of laugh. Can I ask you, what does it say on your thing there, Davey? I'm just noticing it. I'm guessing it's something to do with Ukraine.
It is Ukraine.
I can't.
It is Ukraine, yeah. Yes. Yeah, do you actually want to know?
Yeah, do you?
Paddy, will we get in trouble, Paddy?
Nope.
No, it just says, up yours, Vlad.
Oh, okay. Oh, Vlad. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. No, I agree with you. So,
unanimous.
Thanks very much for having me on, fellas. It's always a pleasure.
Listen, thanks, mate. We really appreciate it. And we'll hope to see you on the ice before the season's out. And maybe we'll get you to come back on. So thanks, mate.
Thank you, mate.
Best luck, lads. Cheers.
Thanks, mate.
Always great having Andrew Dixon on the show. Really, really enjoyed having that. A bit of crack. Always a good laugh. But voting opens on Wednesday morning, continuing to Friday night at AVFTB on Twitter. Cast your vote between Jeff Baum, Scott Conway, David Goodwin, or the goalie triplet of Jackson Whistle, Tyler Bescarwani, and of course, Andrew Dixon. And thanks to Phonacab for sponsoring the award. Joel, not much happening in the Elite League this week.
Quiet week in the EIHL, Paddy. Yeah, let's rattle through this, boys. That was a great chat with Dicko, but we're going to take a long time tonight. This past week in the Premier Sports Elite League, the Challenge Cup finalists were set on Wednesday night as Cardiff downed Sheffield 5-0 in Sheffield to set up a box office showdown with your Belfast Giants in the final. League action resumed Saturday, much like the Devils. The Guildford Flames travelled to Dundee to shut them out by 5-0, while your Belfast Giants were flipping the Coventry Blaze on their heads. The Steelers bounced back in Nottingham with a 7-3 road win over their secret best friends. The Cardiff Devils got the job done with a 7-month thrashing of the Manchester Storm at Ice Arena Wales, and the Glasgow Clan needed overtime but overcame the Fife Flyers 5-4 in Kirkcaldy in what sounded like a really entertaining rivalry game. The Flyers had actually tied that game 4-4 courtesy of Christian Blumenschein from the point in the final minute, but then dropped the extra point in OT. On Sunday, the Steelers came back from a 2-0 deficit against the Coventry Blaze, sounds familiar, to defeat them 5-3, making Blaze head coach Danny Stewart very, very mad. The Clan capped off a magnificent 4-point weekend with a massive win over the Cardiff Devils at Brayhead, beating them 6-3 and doing everybody a favour. The Guildford Flames returned home from Scotland to face the Nottingham Panthers, losing 3-1 at the Spectrum. The game was 1-1 actually there with 4 minutes remaining before Christophe, is it Boivin? Him emerged from behind the net to tie it, and the Fife Flyers continued to do Fife Flyers things, losing 4-1 at home to the Stars. Do we have standings, boys? Go on, Davey. Go on, Davey.
I can do it.
Good man.
So he did as well. Look, you'll notice there, by the way, as well as Sizz pointed out in pre-show tonight, that the Steelers and Giants have now officially qualified for the playoffs. So let's enjoy that for the night. The Belfast Giants now sit within 2 points of the Sheffield Steelers, with our friends from Yorkshire still holding that one game in hand, 37 to Belfast 38. Bear in mind, as Dicko mentioned earlier, the sides have to play each other 5 times before it's all said and done. The Cardiff Devils lost some ground this past week, now sitting third with 57 points from 41 games played, 3 more games played than Belfast and 4 more than Sheffield. The Panthers are still hanging out on their own in fourth with 40 points from 38. The Clan now tie the Guildford Flames on points with 34, but leapfrog them into fifth on regulation wins following that 4-point weekend. The Clan have played 35 to Guildford's 37. The Stars and Blaze round up the playoff places in 7th and 8th. Kay Burley's favourite team have 31 from 35, while Twitter's favourite team sit 8th with 30 from 33. The Manchester Storm have lost ground in 9th with 27 points on the board from their 38 games played, and Fife are You guessed it. Last place with 21 from 36 and only 8 regulation wins all season. We'll rattle through the news as well, boys. As Paddy alluded to, it's been a fairly lively week on the internet. There has been no DOPS since the entire Coventry Blaze organization was fined last week. I missed this until I was having a look before we come on tonight, boys, but the Steelers have added Austrian forward Nico Feldner to their roster on loan for the remainder of the 21-22 season on deadline day. 23-year-old played 44. The press release actually said the 23-year-old played 44 years for Innsbruck in the Ice Hockey League this season before they were eliminated.
Getting the press release wrong.
Yeah, love that. Aaron Fox said he's a big-bodied forward who had a breakout year in Austria at 23 years old. He played big minutes, contributed on their power play. There's another typo on power play, just for the record, and finished the year with 24 points in 44 games. So there you go. They've added one player to their injured reserve list, but we'll communicate that tomorrow, so we'll wait with bated breath. Something that you might want to have a chat about, boys, playoff final weekend tickets were announced this week. The playoff finals weekend is taking place at the Motorpoint Arena in Nottingham on the 30th of April and 1st of May 2022. Usually it's the kind of most anticipated weekend of the year. It's always a great big party weekend, lots of old friends seeing each other, blah, blah, blah. This year, as usual, features two semi-finals on Saturday, followed by a third plus fourth game, the real money game on Sunday, before the playoff final itself, which is the last game of the 21-22 EIHL season. Ticket prices. Weekend pass valid for Saturday and Sunday, £110 plus £5 arena fees. Got to get those arena fees on. And they're also not selling single day tickets this year. Does anybody have any takes on the increase in price of the playoff final weekend?
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
It's difficult because obviously we've had a couple of years now where there's been no playoffs, there's no hockey, and we know as well as anybody that the playoff weekend for the Nottingham Panthers, or sorry, no, the playoff weekend for the Premier Sports Elite League is a big deal with regards to the finances and where they bring and how they build up the finances for the season to come. But it's still a lot of money, and you know, we're charging £10 a head for the Challenge Cup final, which is a great deal. A league, and we've charged £10 a head for the Challenge Cup semi final, again a great deal based on, you know, it being a league run event, etc., 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 getting the crowds in. They know that the crowds are going to get in. They know that it's such a sought after, but the shell out £115 per person, including concessions, including children, when you don't know if your team's going to be there or not,
yeah,
it's a massive, massive commitment to make. And you know, I'm sure with regards to the P&L of the Elite League, they've looked at the numbers and they've tried to you know, to try to get it as cheap as they could possibly get it. I think that this is a money grab? No, I don't. I think that, you know, I would assume that there's just not many options they have, that they have to put it at a price that's going to work for the Elite League, and this might unfortunately be it.
Anyone else, or are we happy to move along?
I guess what I'd seen on Twitter was the jump, I guess, rather than make a comment on whether £115 is value for money. You know, that's a good night out, and I understand a lot of people saying, you know, I can fly to Spain or whatever on the price of that. Well, that's, you know, you choose what you want to do with your money, is what, you know, Paddy would often say. You know, if you want to spend that £115, go to Portugal. If you want to spend that £115 and take your chance on your team not being there, that's the jeopardy. That always has been the jeopardy with the playoff final weekend. Patrick and myself are more fortunate at the minute in that we can jump in a car, we can jump on a train. I get Belfast Giants fans especially, and guys coming down from Scotland, it's a decent trip as well. You're coming from Belfast, you've got flights, you've got hotels, you've got food and drink to put yourself across for 2 or 3 days minimum, and 115. Don't have much change from £1,000 here to go to the playoffs, or £500 per person, you know, you go in a couple. I've seen somebody had put on that it was £480 in 2018, the last time they went. There was obviously the 2019, and then I think whatever, what, a couple cancelled with COVID. £480 for a family of four has now jumped to £920 or something. So it's something ridiculous anyway. I can't remember what's it, or maybe for eight people. Might have been eight people.
Yeah, I was gonna say
they bought eight early bird tickets or whatever, and it was £480, and it's jumped to £920. Whatever amount of tickets they were buying, that is the jump. So a significant jump for but what was it, £75 or something previously?
No, I think you've got to take into account that we haven't had it. We haven't had the playoffs for 2 years, and the actual price might have incremented up this much anyway. You take into account that I'm playing devil's advocate here. I think it's really, really expensive. I do, and it's unfortunate that it is this expensive. I hope they do get the crowds, but I wouldn't. You know, people will choose what to do with their own money.
It's expensive, Paddy, in that if you work it out, whatever it was, £38 a game, somebody had said, if you could turn up on Saturday and the Belfast Giants were playing, would you pay £38 to see them in the championship semi-final? Probably.
Yep, I would.
You wouldn't go to a Premier League game for any of this. This is the top tournament in British ice hockey, semi-final of the FA Cup or whatever you want to call it. You know, it's the semi-final of the big prize. It's the one the Canadians all want to win. Would you then go back on Sunday and pay £38 again or £50 for the final if your team was in it?
Probably.
Yeah, I would.
However, the thing is that you're being charged for a game that you don't really want to go to. I've never been to a game at the playoffs that the Giants haven't been involved in. I just go elsewhere. No real interest in them. But you have to pay for the ticket anyway. So you have to pay and you get the big money game on the Sunday, which is obviously, as Joel has already said, it's the big game of the weekend. But the three big games and the third, fourth place playoff, where you have to buy those tickets, whether you want to go to those games or not, you know, would I rather have the option to buy a ticket for the game I know my team's going to be at? That might be a way forward. But look, you've said it, the league have crunched the numbers and they need that arena filled at £115 or at a certain occupancy at £115 to make the whole thing work. Bit troubled with what I'm seeing on Twitter about a lot of people saying, let's boycott it, let's go to bunkers and watch it on the TV from bunkers, because Premier Sports have put a lot of money in, I guess, this season to be that title sponsor, and they'll want that arena full to put that out on TV with a full arena as well. They'll not want to put that out to 4,000 people in the arena. And look, it'll sell, and it'll sell well. Whether it sells out remains to be seen, but the price is what it is, and you've just got to make your choice whether that's what you want to spend your money on.
Yeah, fair and balanced points there, boys. Like, I think we now live in a world, unfortunately, because of the last couple of years, where everything's more expensive. You know, your money just doesn't go as far. And there's no one sitting in EIHL's ivory towers rubbing their grubby hands together because of this cash grab. That's not what this is. It's the fact that we're in a difficult climate, and to make ends meet and to make the numbers match, unfortunately, this is what it's come out as. That doesn't take away from the fact that it is expensive and it is a gamble. And certainly that added layer for Belfast fans, because you're geographically sort of hampered by having to cross the Irish Sea to go there. You know, it's a commitment. You're going for the weekend, you're going flights, you're going to hotel. But as you say, look, it's the people who have the money, fair play to them, go for it. It's a fantastic weekend. It's a really, really great time. And I'm sure, you know, we've all kind of said it, I'm sure that the fans will still be there, the fans will still enjoy themselves. And it doesn't help anybody to talk about boycotting the playoff finals weekend. It's just it's unfortunate. It is what it is. To steer away from controversy, the last thing I want to bring up, Paddy, is obviously Coventry are having themselves a season. For anybody who's missed it, I tried to actually do notes on this earlier, but a brief rundown based on some bullet points. So after Coventry dropped that 2-0 lead against Sheffield and lost, Danny Stewart got into it in the tunnel with Sheffield's assistant coach. There was a fantastic photo of it. That's awesome. If I was Danny Stewart, I'd have that on my wall. The Sheffield Star published a story on it the next day, talking about him swearing and threatening violence in front of kids. They said later in the same article that the kids were completely unbothered by that, which is funny. Coventry then hit back on Twitter saying, surprise, surprise, our coach is passionate. That clip of Danny Stewart mouthing kind of profanities and a few other bits and pieces that seemed fairly unsavory came online. Coventry then deleted the tweet. They then released a statement addressing what he said and adding more context to it. And then today, to add to the whole sandwich, Manchester Storm said that Coventry announced an away fixture reschedule from Wednesday the 16th of March to Saturday the 19th. Quote, this was not agreed with the Manchester Storm club management, and we will be fulfilling the original fixture on Wednesday the March 16th. And this, of course, coming a couple of weeks after announcer Gate and the Department of Player Safety fining the entire organisation for off-ice staff's conduct.
I apologize, I know I went first when talking about the playoffs, so I'd like to go first on this as well if I can, because I just want to take some of these. There's that picture,
so yeah. Good.
I just Mike O'Connor, he's a big guy now, anyway. Firstly, coach gets angry, don't care.
No.
story from Bob Westerdale, don't care. Like, the only reason that this is a story is because Bob Westerdale happened to be in the happened to be close enough to take a video and whipped out his phone and quickly took a video of it. Coach gets angry because he dropped two goals and maybe feels a bit aggrieved. Don't care. Nonsense story. Danny Stewart, the video that was cut, obviously, from the coverage of Danny Stewart mouthing off and blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, unsavory. But what was going on the Sheffield bench? You're only getting half a story there. So Danny Stewart's getting in the neck. You don't know what's coming the other way. Look at both sides and then come back to me and stop clutching your pearls. But then the other one is the Manchester Storm tweet today.
Yeah.
What's with the passive aggressive tweeting about how we're not going to do what you're saying? Okay, they may have made a mistake. Have you went and actually contacted the Coventry Blaze and said, listen, I think you've made an error here. Can we actually work this out? Or are you just going to passive aggressively tweet about how you're annoyed that the game isn't going on? Let's be professional, for goodness sake. Absolute just a shambles of a week involving the Coventry Blaze to an extent, and they're no way exempt from any blame here. They're absolutely wholeheartedly part of it, and you know, yet again. But there's also other elements here between Bob Westerdale nonsense. The guy's tweeting out a half a story, and then you've also got the Manchester Storm having a bit of a grump on Twitter. Yeah. When all you have to do is say, "Let's sort this out. I'll send you a WhatsApp."
Anyone else? I mean, that.
Yes,
that
is I will, Davey. I have said yes. Imagine us calling people out for being unprofessional, and I agree with that. You know, we are, but it's still. I'm not paid. You know what I mean? I'm not paid to do this. We're not paid to do this. But the clubs are the clubs. The organizations. Yeah. Yes, Bob Estadale's got a story. He's going to publish the story. Absolutely, he's going to publish the story. I'm more than happy to say it's a nonsense story. But the other stuff, you know, it's just Twitter nonsense and the Manchester Storm having a grump when they should be a bit more professional. Contact the Blaze and say, I think we've made a mistake here. Can we just sort this out? That's my take.
Anyone else? Or else that's the news, Patrick Smith. I think the nail just met the head there.
Is that nobody else?
I don't care.
I know. We know
what don't care says, and I don't actually care what other teams do and how other teams perform. But in terms of the league product and what has gone on Twitter, it also devalues the Belfast Giants. In terms of, you know, if it devalues,
we're working
the league,
hard.
We're part of that. We're trying. We have a communications team that are trying their best to get positive stories out, to get good news stories out, to do their best, while other teams are dragging us down.
Right, but does it devalue the Belfast Giants?
It devalues the league as a product.
Right, okay. Well, the league need to work on that then. Let them.
We are the league. We're 10% of the league.
Listen, the bottom line is, we don't need, that being added in the R News is nonsense. Like, I mean, it's all over Twitter for the last 3 days. I'm bored of it already.
I quite enjoyed having a good shout about it, though.
What?
I quite enjoyed having a good shout about it, though.
But that's because you don't get to talk much when you're doing this. Honestly, you know, I feel sorry for Danny Stewart. You know, he's been put up there as if it's completely all his fault. I agree with Paddy, what he said about, all right, you know, he's had a bit of a rant and a rave for getting beat. If there's a coach out there that is happy to get beat and can't, you know, you show me who it is. That's
the wrong,
you know,
job. That's the wrong job.
Every coach would be disappointed about getting beat. They get beat by us the night before. They're in a bit of a bad run at the minute. And I do feel sorry for him. But, you know, as Paddy said, you know, you only see him having a go and apparently there's nobody shouting back at him. That's the biggest load of nonsense. So it's done and dusted. You know, it'll probably go on for another few days. The league should step in and just draw a line under it and get on with it. Honestly, I'm bored the trunks off me.
That is the last word right there, Patrick Smith.
Fair enough. Thanks for all of that, gents. And we'll just rattle through. Of course, the Belfast Giants have three fixtures all against the same opponent this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and away on Sunday. It's the Guildford Flames, Friday 7 p.m. and Saturday at 7 p.m. at their SSE Arena. And if you can't get down to those, you can get them on Giants TV before going over to Surrey to the Spectrum Leisure Centre to take on the Guildford Flames in their own barn Sunday at 6 p.m. No webcast of that because it's Guildford. Any other business, boys?
Is Guildford not doing webcast?
Nope. Yeah. Any other business?
Not for me this week.
We've covered the business.
I think we covered all the business. Davey, anything for you? How do you feel about the whole running the show here? Because I'm not here next week.
We'll just have to wait and see.
We're gonna be okay. Fine.
I'm having an egg for my supper here. What time is it?
It's 11. We're going to wrap it up. Gentlemen,
when
thank
say,
you very
when
much.
I say an egg, I'm in a Kinder Surprise.
Athlete, mate.
I had a Cadbury's cream egg earlier. So.
Other chocolate eggs are available.
Other chocolate eggs are available. Yep. So big thanks to Dideco for joining us. And yep. Those games this weekend, like I say, Guildford Friday and Saturday at home and Sunday away, 7 o'clock at home, 6 p.m. away at the Spectrum. You can get them. If you're not getting down to those games, get them on Giants TV, but not the away one. So keep an eye on Twitter and the likes, and we'll try to keep you up to date on all of that. Thanks to you, gentlemen. I hope you're doing well. I'll not see you next week, but good luck next week.
Yeah, enjoy it, Paddy. Have a real good time.
Yeah, it's been really good looking forward to it. Val d'Isère. Val d'Isère going now. Yeah, something like that, David. Yeah. What was that, David?
What's he doing? What you saw.
Where we are this weekend.
Cross country skiing. You can get us on Twitter at AVFTV, where you can also vote on the player of the month. You can get us on Facebook, kingdomofthegiants.com, all your normal podcast clients, and on YouTube as well. Thanks, gents, wherever you are this weekend. We hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Sports Social Podcast Network.